السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن نعيم الله أشهد أن نعيم الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. صلى الله عليه وسلم. That is to say, the prayers and the peace be upon Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. We give him his due and his exaltation. We also bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. And we also bear witness that he rules, he governs the creation that he made without any assistance. He needs no help in managing the creation that he has made. And we send the greetings and the exaltations upon the companions of Prophet Muhammad, the righteous all. We also give the greetings of peace and al-Islam to all the Muslims all over the world. Of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم. Allah, God Most High, says in the Quran, this is from Surah Shams in the Quran, or in the for those of us who use the Yusuf Ali would be Surah 91 Ash-Shams. And Allah, God Most High, says in the Quran here, وَالنَّفْسِمْ وَمَا سُوَّاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَبَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And he, at this point, is talking to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and teaching him about the soul. And he says here, وَالنَّفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا, and by the soul and the order and structure that it is given, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, and then the soul has an illumination into its good and its bad. And then here, قَدْ, Allah then gives an emphatic, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَاهَا. So here, so truly, definite, without a doubt, أَفْلَحَ, the success of the soul is in the purification of the soul. And Aflaha is, it means that it is already done. But that is described in the ayah before, in the structure of the soul, in the ordering of the soul, in the making of the soul, in the law of the soul, is that when this soul is purified, success comes out of the soul. That is the purpose of the soul. That's what the soul fuels off of. That's what the soul runs off of. That's what the soul rises off of. And then it's illumination. It's like, when they make, for example, let's just use a phone. You know, for some of us, we have maybe different batteries in the phone, but they run off of a battery. And the phone has to charge. When the battery is out, the phone is out. You can't make a phone call. You can't receive a phone call. You can't do anything. And then you have to do what to the phone? You have to charge the phone. It's not usable. For the soul to have a use, the charge for the soul to have use is its purification. And the function of the soul, once it has the purification, is the soul edifies. See, phone gives calls, takes calls. So that's what it does. The soul, it illuminates and it elevates and it directs. That's what it does. But when it is not purified, it's out. But it's only in a dormant state. It can be charged. Charge it up. What's going to do is going to elevate, it's going to edify, it's going to permeate. And you see that in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a realistic example of the soul illuminating, edifying. And then those companions that we give the salute to saw that light and followed that light. And Muhammad was following that light. He was following the light that was coming from inside of himself, that his Lord put in himself. And then when revelation ignited and charged the soul gave off what it already had. His soul is not unique from any other soul that Allah designs. That what he exemplifies is the destiny that the soul has and how the soul works. What does it do? Qad aflaha man zakkaha. Surely the success is when the soul is purified. Qad khaba man dasaha. And for surely the soul fails when it takes on corruption. How does it work? It illuminates, it radiates, it edifies. When it's not on, it's like this phone. Black, nothing. Can't do anything, can't receive anything. And matter of fact, if your phone ain't working, carrying it is no use. It's a burden, isn't it? Carrying around a phone that you can't use. Taking up space in your pocket, in your purse, or whatever. Let alone paying a monthly bill for a phone that does not work. That can't receive calls. But you walk around talking about I got a phone, but you can't even use the phone. So Allah is talking about the essential design of the human that he has and that she has. And this is what the human is in its makeup. The body is the tool. Right? The phone does not work without the apps. Those are tools, but you got to have the base. The base of the human is the soul. That's the base. All these other things are the tools that make the soul express itself to other souls, other bodies. The body is only a vehicle that is used to allow you to see me express myself, but it is not the totality of my expression. My expression is bigger than just my smile, my height, my weight, my race. what I say my religion is. No, my expression is bigger than that. And when the time comes, Allah says that universe is too small for the soul. I have to call that soul back to the big garden that I created in the first place. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. O our Lord, grant us good in this life. O our Lord, grant us good in the next life. O our Lord, save us all from torment of the fire. Ameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That is to say that I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave, servant, and messenger. The soul. By the soul and its order and its structure, the soul is not put together randomly. It is put together with care by the best maker. The Lord designed the soul just like a design of the car. But the soul has a way that it has to go to get repairs, oil changes, tune-ups, and all of those things. Just like the body. They didn't make this without looking at another design. But they got us focusing only on those things, and they take the credit. But Allah interjects himself and say, I will not allow them to deceive you about me and about yourself. You can take it or you can leave it alone. So he says, and it succeeds when it is purified, and it fails when it is corrupt. So I'm going to transition here and make a few ties that was going to the second half of the khutbah. So now this dawah now becomes universal. This reaches all people. So to tell a person that they were born failures or defective is a lie. It's not a lie in ideology. It's a lie in the essential makeup of a person. They're not born with a defective soul. That soul has to give itself to lies, and those lies turn off the ability that the soul has to connect with the light and illuminate and project that light like a mirror bouncing off the sun. But when it doesn't get that light, it only reflects what it's getting, and it reflects darkness. It responds to that. And so then you see the behavior and the mechanisms and the thoughts and the behaviors of a person that engages in that, but the soul is taking it on. So if you then tell a person that the creator of the heavens and the earth will put himself in the creation that he made just to communicate with the creation that he made is a lie. God created a human. Why would God need to be a human? Why would God want to be a human? To communicate to you when he had been communicating to you with humans and creation throughout time. Why now? See, that's a lie. And that's a lie, and it corrupts the soul. It, what does it mean? It makes the soul take on an identity and a role that it wasn't made for. So then the soul subjugates itself to something that is not the cause of its illumination. And everything thereafter is a consequence and a repercussion of that. So then he comes in and gives the new directive in the final book. So that the soul then understands its role. It understands its maker. It understands its destiny. It understands where it gets its fuel from, its food. Like you have to know how to get your food, H-E-B or whatever have you. But we don't stop at H-E-B. We have to have a certain type of way that that food is cared for. If not, we can't eat. We don't just eat anybody's burgers, sausages, and whatever have you. They have to have had that meat raised in a certain way. It had to feed off a certain thing. And at the time when it then makes the meat for human consumption, it has to declare that that meat came from its creator. If they don't do that, we don't eat that kind of meat. That's the same kind of knowledge that we have to have all the time. And when we do, if we take on knowledge that doesn't come from that, then it makes our soul go dark. And our life does not have the illumination that it was destined to have. It doesn't have that edification. It doesn't amplify itself. And we are not happy. Although we're still accumulating things. But none of those things give light or energy to the soul. And we wonder what's wrong. It's because we're not conforming to the design. So he has to first give the instruction so we have a chance to get the right order. So the soul now has four journeys in the universe. Right? So when the husband and wife get together, and then conception happens, the soul is not there then. That's just biology doing what it does. No, soul ain't there yet. Because the soul ain't in the man for the future. Huh? It's not in the woman for the future. That's just the biological form they're shaping. God has to then send the soul into that environment. If the soul does not come into that environment, the baby comes out and it's not life. It's not alive. Body, everything function, nothing. So God has to then bless that. I'm going to send this soul. So he chooses where he sent this your soul. He knew who they were and he sent you in there. You think you was all the way in there. No. That's just the body. That wasn't you. That was just the house for you. But he put you in that house. With that family, with that union, with that community, because then he wanted that soul to be a part of that environment, but the soul is not limited to that environment. That's just where it got to start. So you're in this environment, and then it has first, so the first journey, first place for the soul is in the key in the universe. Its original home is heaven. That's its original home, but we're talking about in the universe. So first, it's in the womb. It goes into the womb of the mother. It's not in the loins of the man. See, when it comes out of there, and it's not a soul yet. It has this in the womb, and then God comes in there. Which means that means that soul comes alive in its community. Not in just one of the two. As the two come together, then the soul comes. So now it's alive. In the womb of the mother. And when it comes out, then the next place for the soul is this world, the dunya. And lives here for a time. And after it leaves here, we're going specific in just a second. Then after it leaves here, then it goes up to see its creator, and then the judgment comes, and then it comes and it's in the grave for a period of time to answer some questions. We'll get to them questions in a second. And then after that, then it goes to its place, heaven or hell. That's where it ends up. So everybody's driving around, whatever they're driving, wherever they live in, whatever they're wearing, or whatever school they're in, their soul is going to go through this process. And everybody that we have seen or known, they have went through this already before us. Our parents, our forefathers, our ancestors, everybody has went through this. And somebody probably right now is going through this. Somewhere on earth right now is in this process right now. And right now I'm talking about in the grave, waiting. For the destination, the decree. When you bury someone and they're in there, they're weeping the family. Oh, they're grabbing the people that's still here. I'm sorry. No, the person that's under turmoil is the one that's in the grave. Because their reality is hawk. And now their destination is being determined while you still figuring out what you're going to eat for lunch. They got a whole nother reality going on. The weeps and the moans should be for the dead. Not for those who are aching because they can't see their loved one no more. That person is under a serious engagement. The most serious point of life. They're going through it at that point in time. And God is going to determine where they're going to be forever. We change jobs like we change shoes and socks. No, but that person can't say, get up there and say, I don't like it here. I think I'm going to put an application. You get down there, oh man, I don't like it. You can't, there's no more. You can't put in no application. You at, that's where you at. The only way out of that is the prayer of your children. So if they don't know how to pray, you are not getting out of there. That's what this dean does. This dean puts the head back on the shoulders and takes it from the other places that distracts it. Allah says that in the Quran. He says, Al-haqa mutakathir hatta zurtumul maqabir. Right? Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. He's just making this point. So he says, and the mutual piling up of stings. The word he uses there is it entertains you, meaning it holds your mind, and it holds your mind in such a condition that your mind is not focused on the things that are even more important than that, although the things that you're doing are needed. When it's saying I have, that means it's that you need to go to work and pay your bills and change your oil and whatever it is, you go on Facebook if that's what you do and try to do what you do. But Allah is saying those things are important, but don't let it take away from the other things that you have to also do as your responsibility to your soul. Manage your time. You got to do it, but Allah is just. He didn't say pray all day. You pray at a certain time of day and you go back and do whatever it is that you was doing. And then you stop that. But He never gives us the authority to just stay in one state all the time. We got to wake up from sleep. And the adhan in the morning is different than the adhan in the middle of the day. As-salatu khayru min an-nawm. Huh? The life awake for what? The soul is better than the soul sleeping. We think he's talking about your body. No, he's talking about your soul. Your soul got to say, man, it's Fajr time. I need to get up. Because the body going to say, oh. Right? And there's a battle. So, and so somewhere says, so then the soul commands and say, rise up and pray to your maker. That's the deen. Right? People in your house see you getting up out of your sleep to pray. It speaks volumes. That's more Darwin than all the pamphlets we can pass out. Is that right? All the praise due to Allah. So we're going to wind it up here. So these are the four stages that the soul goes through. But I'm staying here on this grave because this is imperative. So in this grave, you're going to be asked, I'm going to be asked, we're going to be asked three things. I'm going to talk about the things we're going to be asked in the grave, and things we're going to be asked in the akhirah, and then put together. It total is eight, but here's the first. When Allah says, who is your Lord? Who is your prophet? What is your deen? Now, I have to make this point clear. Those are not questions that you're going to be able to answer from memory. Keep in mind, he's talking to the soul. He's not talking to the body that can just say prophet and do. When you go back in there, he's addressing the soul. The body is finished. The body is not going to do anything else for you. It's laying there. You in there. He's asked this question. So he's asking the question to the soul, which means that the answer the soul gives is in the answer that the soul lived. It ain't coming out the mouth. The soul is going to project the answer. Meaning if the soul didn't pray, didn't fast, didn't do all that things, whatever, when he said, who is your Lord? The soul going to say, I don't know. Because it doesn't know. It didn't live that life. The body did, assalamu alaikum, but the soul didn't engage in any of that. So when Allah questions the soul is going to say, I don't know how I lived. I don't know. Then he's going to then ask the next question. So you see how this works? Well, then if that answer to that is I don't know, then it's going to get worse. Who's your prophet? I don't know. Why is that? Because the soul didn't follow the Rasul. The soul didn't give itself to follow the life and the logic and the hikmah of the Rasul. It followed something else. We'll get to that in a second. It gets worse. So then obviously then the next question, what's your deen? I don't know. what my deen is, because I don't know what I was practicing. Whatever the other thing was, he had me doing all this other kind of stuff. I was everywhere. Can nobody answer for you? It's not a test like that, okay? See, that's what we're thinking. And so you see people, and I'm not making mockery because you shouldn't make mockery in Jummah. That's why you see people at the grave, Muslims, such and such. Tell them when they ask who, because they know that you can hear for a minute, they try to give you the answers. Tell them, your Lord is Allah, your prophet is Muhammad, and you're it's too late for you to give them that kind of help. That kind of help won't help them, because the soul has to answer, and they can't even respond to you trying to talk to the brain and just remember something that it said. No, the soul don't work like that. That's why Allah talks to us about the soul, so we can understand how it works. If we understand how it works, we'll do a better job of maintaining it. Last point. Then he's going to ask, when the soul then comes into that point and either gets that acceptable and the soul is acceptable, then now, just so real quick. So if the soul is acceptable and Allah sees the soul is illuminated and clean, because keep in mind the soul going to illuminate and God going to know if it's clean or not. It's going to smell good. If it's clean, it's going to reek like no other stench we've ever smelt. See, the soul, that's like soul. Just picture your feet or your hands or whatever. Picture what happens if you don't wash it. The soul, when it doesn't have that purification that comes from living this life, it reeks. And so then it's going to go. Now, if it is good, then Allah will allow it to see the jinn. And it will hear the praises of salams in the grave. And it'll calm the soul down. It'll smell it. It'll smell the furdus. It'll smell that. And it'll know where it's going. And it'll calm it down. And it'll be good at that point. It'll wait its arrival. Okay. But the opposite. When it don't get that, the gates of hell opens up. It feels the flames. It hears the wails. It smells the burning flesh, and the soul goes into torment. And at that point, if the soul could come back alive, it would have 10 heart attacks. Because of that inevitable doom. And that's when Allah is talking about the grave. That's when they say, oh, I want to go back. Okay, I get it. They think it's a bad dream. Well, this ain't no bad dream. This is it. You ain't wake from a bad dream and you, okay, good. You don't wake up from that and go. You can't change your choices. You can't do anything different. You can't make any extra prayers. That's it. And so then the soul then at that point, then he'll go get his record. Now, then he's the five questions. We'll stop here. Then it goes to get his record. But it don't get, they get it at the gate. They don't get in there. They never touch that. Oh, no, you on the outside. They on the outside of the gates. You looking in there and you're not going in there. So, questions. Prophet Muhammad said, you're going to be asked five things. All this is to help us figure out how we need to manage this soul. How we need to take care of it. What do we need to do so that it can have that zakah, that purification. Question one, how did you live your life? Allah is talking to the soul. Man, you ain't going to talk about this. Ain't this. Your whole life is going to project. That's when the hands and the feet and all that's going to testify. Here it is. Right? Second, then, how did you spend your time? Right? Prayer five times a day, whatever it is. Everything you did is going to come up there on that screen. Three, how did we make our money? What kind of profession were we in? How do we do that? Number four, how did we spend the money that we earned? Every dollar that you have ever earned, you're going to have to account for. Every penny, every nickel, everything. Allah going to ask you about it all. You can't make up nothing. The body going to tell it, this is what I did. You're just going to be, so it's like everything talking, you just sitting there, can't do nothing. Everything testifying. Everything in your body going to tell what it did. Everything. And even the people you're wrong, they're going to come up in there. It's going to be a serious situation. No time for rebuttal. The time for rebut is now. Now's the time to rebut. If I object, well, then you need to make a better showing. Number five, how did we pursue the knowledge for the brain? And how did we act upon the knowledge that we got? Everything you studied, looked at, or whatever you put into your head, Allah's going to ask, okay, brain, tell me about it. Brain going to say, this is what he was doing with me and all of this and everything. And everything was saying, this is what I did with what he or what she did. And at that point, then the judgment is decided. You either going, at that point, if you at the gate, you would going back. They're going to throw you. They're going to send you down. They throw that body out. The soul is thrown out. The soul is reeking. It's not a glamorous sit. It's the most humiliating time. Because that kind of filth can't get there. And it's just nothing personal, but we brought it on ourselves. Now, there's a few other things, but we don't have the time today. But just understand just this point, and I'll segue and close. So, when we're here in our final hours, going back now in the final hours, Allah allows us to see the angels. And we'll see either the angels of mercy or the angels of punishment. And it will be within eye distance. You can see them. And the angels of mercy, because we need to know this, it brings peace to the heart, it brings love to the heart, and it also gives us the right fear so we can maybe, if we need to make some adjustments, we can make some adjustments. So the angels of mercy come, and then they tell the soul, come out. They say, oh soul, come out. Your Lord is pleased. Prophet Muhammad SAW said that soul comes out like water out of a cup. It pours out. But when angels of punishment come, they have, that soul is so attached to the physical life that they have to snatch it out. They have to get special tools because it don't want to come out. It don't want to come out of there. It hung home to the world. It don't want to come out of there. And they got to pull it out of there. The Prophet Muhammad SAW said, it's like putting a comb through a wet wool. It's just, and it's agonizing. And they see that. And so Allah gives us the reward for the life lived, because we said it's four parts of the universe: the womb, the world, the grave. Now I want to close on here, because you have to give some positive, because that's like really dark. In this religion, Allah motivates us through the three main emotions He uses. Number one, He uses His love. He gives us information to make our hearts love Him and love the Rasul and love this life. And love being a Muslim. He does that. And then He gives us hope. He gives us words that will inspire us and make us hopeful for this Jannah and hopeful for this reward. And it allows us to get the strength to endure the agony that we have and the conflict that we have. But it gives us the stamina to push through adversity. And He also uses fear so that we can not be thinking everything is hunky-dory and there's not a reckoning coming. Everything is all prosperous and prosperous preaching and harvesting. And no, this life is not like that. We have to worship, we have to work, we have to pray, and we're not in control of the majority of those things. But if we get with the one who is in control, the soul will be purified. Right? So the last point. Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi says, the soul will keep signaling to our minds and our intelligence the duties and responsibilities, and it will keep pressuring us until we fulfill our obligation to our Creator, our Nourisher, our Sustainer, and our Protector. The soul will never stop doing this, and it will keep on doing this until we clean it up so that it can go to the home that it was created in. And the more corruption we give, we can drown the soul out, just smother it with corruption, so that it doesn't even shout out anymore. It just succumbs to our own oppression of it. Allah says in the Quran here. This is in the surah here. Al-Mu'min, we're talking about. Yeah, it says here. Ayyuhal nafsun mutma'ina. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Wadkhuli jannati. Here. So He's saying, oh soul, pleased. And this is when you're going into the gate. Oh soul, I'm pleased with you and you're pleased with yourself. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Enter upon my workers. You work for that old soul. You work for a soul. Come get to. come get to work. I know you was working hard for it. And me may not have saw all of the tangible things, but you kept your eye on the prize, and now you going into the gates. He says here, enter among my workers, you, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. Enter you, my garden. I'm sharing something that I have with you. Because your work for this life has given you a chance to get in this life. So as we close, everything that we're doing as Muslims, all of the Jumas that we're attending, and the fundraisers that we're doing, and the weekend schools that we're doing, and the leadership classes that we're doing, and the event that we have going on in Austin 2 weeks from now, next week, and the event that we're going to have coming up here, and everything that we're doing, everything that we're doing as a Muslim is to get in the gate. All of our prayers is for that. So we can't let Satan make us think that our prayers are supposed to bring some rent money and regulate our prayers to my physical soul that is structured to obey God, to only be giving itself to the material life that is shorter than the eternal life for it. That's a bad trade. Allah reminds us, don't you trade that. What does he say? They bartered what? Guidance for what? Error. I need to make this money now. I know the hereafter, but I don't know about all that, but I need this to, okay. And then when it come back, they're going to want to go back to fix that. He said, you'll make the same decision. But why? Because the soul was still dark, and it makes those choices when it's not clean. But when it's clean, it sees the decision. Doesn't make the decision any easier. Doesn't make the burden any lighter. But it knows the choice that it has to make, because it knows the home that it wants, and it makes that decision here that it wants to go to the Akhirah, or it wants to stay here in the dunya. And when the time comes, it's going to go to that dunya and be buried underneath that dunya, and it will not rise. This is a universal light that Islam gives. This is our da'wah. When they ask why we believe that God is our authority. And we believe that we will answer to him. And so when we say God is one, we're saying that he does not need anybody's help to do his work. He don't need disciples and sahabas and wives and sons and children and soldiers to fight and battle with him. He doesn't need any of that. So when we say he's alone, he doesn't need his creation to help his will. We need the creation and him to make his will work in our life. And for that, we say we're Muslims, and we don't bow down, we don't back up, we don't step to the side. We go forward on, because we know that God is the truth. He's the haq for us. And we accept what his decree is, but we know he will not leave us in despair forever. And if we would just clean our soul up, our life will illuminate, and the journey that we have will be the greatest of all. Peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. O Lord, grant us good in this life. O Lord, I grant us good in the next life. O Lord, grant us all peace. Grant us all security. O Allah, please give us mercy. Help us make tawbah. Help us learn how to turn to you and repent and go away from those things that are corrupting our soul. O Allah, show us light in your revelation in the Quran. O Allah, help us see the light of Muhammad better. O Allah, help us be better servants of you. Help us be better citizens to each other, brothers and sisters to each other, and better da'is to humanity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ikim as-salam.
Takbir. Takbir. Takbir.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Shalom. La ilaha illallah. Shalom.